Hello, and welcome to this Innovation Forum podcast on sustainable nutrition. I'm Hannah Oborne, and today I am joined by Jessica Sansom, Sustainability Director at Huel, the pioneering food brand offering complete nutrition, which is plant-based, efficient, and nutritional. Thanks for joining me today, Jessica.
Thanks very much for having me.
Today, we will be discussing how food brands are devising new means of balancing sustainability with accessibility and nutrition in looking towards the future of food. Too often, there's a preconception that foods which are accessible and convenient are also those that are unhealthy and unsustainably sourced. As a pioneer in the convenience space, Huel is working to flip this preconception through their product offering, providing meal replacements that are sustainable, plant-based, healthy, and nutritional. So, let's set the scene. Jessica, how do you think priorities in the convenience sector are shifting?
Fast. What we've seen is that previously there was very little pressure for convenience foods to be anything more than convenient, you know, and preferably low cost. With these increasingly busy lifestyles that we all lead, and as such an increasing amount of consumption of convenience foods, because people simply are looking for food that they can consume much more quickly, you know, that requires very little preparation. And preferably, you know, a lot of the time we see people consuming food whilst they're on the go. The industry has had to evolve to therefore meet specific needs that people might be looking for. You know, 15, 20 years ago, we sort of saw the explosion of, say, energy drinks as something that people could have on the go very quickly. They could drink it whilst moving and get a quick shot of caffeine. And now in the last, I don't know, what would you say, 5 years, we've seen this huge explosion in protein as a specific need that convenience foods are trying to address. We've got protein shakes and protein bars and added protein, this and that, and you can't walk down a supermarket aisle without being bombarded with messages about protein. So that's definitely been this shift. And now there's even another layer which has been put upon that, which is, I think, a really an evolving and growing understanding about health, and people starting to think, as I consume more of these convenient foods, I'm more conscious that I'm perhaps not eating well from a nutrition point of view. Am I getting enough fruit and vegetables, for instance? You know, what's actually in these products? Because I've realized that I've now consumed a lot of them, say, within a week period. There's a strong focus around nutrition and lower in sugar, lower in fats, high in fruit and vegetable content, for instance, high in high quality proteins. Even more recently still as well is growing awareness about the sustainability impact of food. You know, we've really seen a huge growth in people's awareness about the need to reduce their meat consumption, and therefore, as such, an increase in plant-based offerings within the convenience space, which meets both that health and sustainability concern, because obviously thinking, all right, well, I'm getting more vegetables into my diet, but also that I realize that that's lower impact. So it's a rapidly evolving space and quite confusing, I think, in the number of different messages that the industry is trying to address, or the different needs of consumers that the industry is trying to address.
So yeah, it's clearly a rapidly growing sector, and the rise in consumer awareness around this health and consumption piece must really add an extra layer of pressure. So how do you go about establishing these key priorities at Huel, and what exactly do these look like?
There are a lot, yes. I think probably what's useful to say first up is that there is no one standard Huel customer that exists. A Huel consumer could be a college student who's moved out of home and is not really sure about what meals that they want to prepare, or that perhaps they don't have good space in order to be able to do it. And so they want something that's reasonably affordable and quick. We see a lot of people who are office workers and who have grown tired of the packaged sandwich option that they might otherwise have. Shift workers, people who work in hospitals or in emergency services, are often big consumers of Huel. And through to perhaps extreme athletes who want to have guaranteed nutrition whilst they're undertaking events. Busy parents who just don't have time in the mornings, particularly to look after their own nutrition whilst they're caring for their children, through to people who are quite ill and perhaps can't consume traditional foods, and that they find something like Huel more easily digestible for them. We've got a huge range of different people who are consuming Huel, and for all sorts of different reasons. What we're really trying to do for those people is offer a solution focused on two main areas. So the first one is all around nutrition. It's increasingly difficult to make sure that you're eating nutritious foods. And it's complicated. I mean, there's a whole science behind it. You can get these easy messages like, oh, I need to eat more protein, but not a lot of people necessarily understand why, or if indeed they do need more protein over and above what they're already consuming. And then how much would they need? And what about things like healthy fats? You know, what do I need and how much of that do I need and so on? It can take up a huge amount of time just to try and look at your composition of your meal. And so what Huell's done in this space is said, look, we want to take all of that guesswork out of the picture for you. And we want to offer you something that's been designed by nutritionists to offer you what we call complete nutrition. So that means the right mix of your macronutrients, so your carbohydrates, your proteins, your healthy fats, and then micronutrients as well. So we look at making sure that we add in 26 different vitamins and minerals that you need in your diet. And it's amazing when you look at the research about how many people around the world are suffering from some sort of deficiency in relation to all of those micronutrients, just because they're simply not available in food. That's really the first thing that's our number one priority, is to say, okay, we want to be able to guarantee to every consumer that what they're having offers them the nutrition that they need in the right ratios of what they need. And then the second piece is around, we really want to address the impact of food, and specifically the environmental impact. Our food system is responsible for over a quarter of all greenhouse gas emissions. And to put that into context, people talk a lot about aviation, for example, and aviation is around 2% of global greenhouse gas emissions, and food is over a quarter. I mean, if we want to address the challenge of climate change, we cannot do it unless we tackle the emissions coming from the food sector. And that's just on one level. You could have the same conversation when it comes to water. I mean, 70% of global fresh water use is in agriculture, or deforestation. It's thought that around 90% of deforestation around the world is for agriculture. Loss of biodiversity, again, I think it's around 70% of biodiversity loss is due to agriculture. It's a hugely impactful industry. It's really important that we bring those impacts down and that we make sure that we operate within the boundaries of what's considered healthy for our planet. What we're trying to do into that space is to look at what is a low impact offering that we can give. What does it look like to have a meal that has been designed to sit within a carbon footprint that would keep climate change at 1.5 degrees, for example? And then we're going and we're looking at every meal that Huell offers, and we're making sure that we sit within that footprint. So that's our commitment in this area, is to understand what the impact is of all of our meals, right down to the individual ingredient level, and then to design that meal up to make sure that it fits within what is a sustainable footprint, so be it for carbon or water or biodiversity, land usage, etc.
To your point on impact, consumer engagement is always an important element. So what would you say best practice looks like, and how do you think trends in consumer engagement are changing?
I think when it comes to communication or engagement with consumers, it's kind of like the food. You know, we're looking at convenience food, and it has to be convenient communications. You can't expect that people are going to have a lot of time to look through detailed information on your packaging, for example, or to go and conduct detailed research on your website to understand what it is that you're doing with the product. You need to put it into, you know, excuse the pun, but very digestible amounts of information in different formats. With Huell, what we're trying to do is to create layers of information like most companies do, you know, so that you've got your standout differentiators, I guess, on your pack, and then you've got more information on your website, that we offer people a forum, for example, though they can get online and that they can ask us specific questions, and we'll make sure that we come back and answer those in a kind of conversation. So, you know, we're doing that kind of layering. Where we're trying to get to is a point that what we offer as a brand is universal across all of our products, and that there is an element of trust there, so that people understand, if I choose Huell, then I'm choosing complete nutrition and low impact, and I know it's going to be affordable, and I know it's going to be convenient. Those are the things that Huel promises within their product. So I don't have to then take a lot of time to go and understand what's going on behind it. It's there if I want it, but it doesn't have to be. You know, you see a lot of brands that are starting to go down this route of there's a lot of labeling that's out there, eco-labeling or nutrition labeling, of course, has just been around for a long time. But that requires a certain level of understanding from consumers. And the other thing that I guess I rally against in that space is it means that some of the products are okay, but some of them aren't. We're at this point in time where if you look at global health challenges, if you look at global sustainability challenges, you know, they're really immense and they require very significant and very rapid action. For example, if we want to keep climate change within 1.5 degrees, we have to have done it by 2029. After that, it's going to be too late. We will exceed the threshold for 1.5 degrees. We don't have a lot of time to educate people. Therefore, make sure that the standards that you apply, the performance that you want your product to have, is just universal across all your products, and that we're not then relying on consumers to A, understand a lot of information, and then B, make choices between sustainable and unsustainable options, for example. Because if we do that, we're never going to solve these problems within the timelines that we have available to us. So yes, I think best practice is a culmination of different things, but it's about that layering of information. It's about making the performance of products, you know, range brand wide, for example, so that you create an element of trust with your consumer that they know what it is that you stand for. And of course, behind the scenes, you're doing all the work for them. I mean, we have huge amounts of data at Huel, unbelievable amounts of data. You know, we know for every ingredient what its impact is across a range of different sustainability performance indicators. We know how far every product has traveled and with what means of transport it's traveled. We know the nutrition, of course, of, you know, every ingredient that's in our product and how it adds up and what does that look like in terms of your overall diet. We use all of that data to guide the internal decision making, to also make it available to consumers if they want to, but to make sure, again, that we meet that brand level commitment of what it is that we offer in our products.
You're operating in a rapidly growing sector and facing rising consumer pressure. So what do you think that new brands need to be doing to stand out in the convenience food space and to really generate this consumer trust?
I think that we need to solve people's problems. We need to offer solutions. They can no longer be based on just one issue that you're trying to solve. So it's not just about protein, for example, or it's not just about plant-based. We need to solve problems on multiple levels. It's not just cheap, it's not just available, but it's one that's tasty, it's one that's nutritious, it's one that's providing long-lasting energy, it's one that is plant-based, it's one that is ethically sourced. We need to take responsibility for those and to give people an offering that is truly quite comprehensive in this space. When you're doing that as an offerer of convenience food, then I think that you're really starting to solve people's issues and therefore to be more attractive to them in terms of what's going on. And the more that you're showing your dedication and your commitment to understanding what these issues are and addressing them within your products and so on, I think you come back to this trust with consumers. Okay, I trust that that brand is doing the right thing. I trust that it's going to be a product that's good for me. That's the main thing I think that we need to do, is solve problems on multiple levels and to make it easy for people, to make it, you know, convenient, again, on that information front. It's good for me, it's good for the planet, and therefore that's why I choose it.
So looking ahead then, what do you want to see the convenience sector doing to really balance nutrition with sustainability? And what would you say are the kind of important steps needed for this?
Sustainable nutrition, in our view at Huel, is about making sure that the food that you offer does offer you the nutrition that you need. It offers it in the amounts that people need it. It's going to be affordable and convenient. It's going to be low impact. It's going to be ethical. All of those things constitute elements of sustainable nutrition. If we want to achieve that across the whole of the food sector, it requires action at all of the different levels and in different ways within the food sector. So if you look at agriculture, for instance, our agricultural industry has an enormous impact, and our methods of agricultural production are extremely intense on the environment. You know, some of the solutions that we're starting to see are things like regenerative agriculture, which is going back and making sure that we protect our soils, because if you protect soils and that they're healthy soils and fertile soils, then you need to have less use of artificial and synthetic fertilizers, pesticides, etc. Those soils hold water better, so you're less susceptible to periods of low rainfall and extreme weather, like droughts that we're seeing at the moment. They're also, strangely, you say, well, if they hold more water, are they not more susceptible to floods? Actually, they have a stronger soil structure because they've got lots of biodiversity and microorganisms in the soil holding it together, so they actually don't wash away so easily if there's high rainfall events and so on. And there's some really interesting research which is starting to come out, which is showing that it can actually improve the nutritional content of food that when they're produced using these regenerative systems. So that's just one example of things that we can be doing in the agricultural sector. There's also amazing technology going on about producing food without soil, for example, and indoor farms and farms on top of buildings and in urban spaces, intensification of farming in a way that doesn't also intensify agricultural land impacts, for example. Even amazing technology, which I cannot promise to understand, about taking protein out of the air and being able to turn it into a food product. So there's all sorts of things that are happening at that base level. And then you think up through the different activities of the food sector and you think, okay, well, what about the manufacturing of food and making sure that we reduce energy usage in it and water usage, and that we make sure that we reduce waste that's coming out of that sector. I mean, we've got so much better at using what traditionally used to be called byproducts. As an example, Huel uses the protein from rice, and that used to actually be a byproduct from the rice syrup industry. And it used to just get wasted, but now they've realized, oh, actually it's protein and it has a value and it can be used in different products. We've gotten a lot better at that. We're getting a lot better at how we move food and sort of the logistics impacts of air freight or sea freight and rail and road and so on. But we need action at every single one of those levels. And then, of course, there's the last level, which is about what it is that we all choose to eat. No surprises, I'm a huge advocate of plant-based eating, not only because it offers significantly improved environmental performance, but also because of all the health benefits that come from it as well. Study after study has shown that a plant-based diet will reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease, of dementia, of cancer, for example, inflammation in the body. I mean, there's so many reasons why you'd want to eat, let's say, predominantly plant-based for your health as well as for improved environmental impact. You need so much action at all these different levels in the food sector. And we also all need to work together on this, because there's no point sort of pointing at the agricultural industry and saying, oh, you need to reduce your impacts. You need to use less nitrogen fertilizer and you need to make sure that you don't clear any land for growing your cocoa, for example, if you're not prepared to pay farmers a fair price, which will allow them to produce in such a way that they can reduce their impacts. I mean, the only reason cocoa farmers are clearing land to plant more cocoa is because they get paid such a low price. I mean, the average income of a cocoa farmer in West Africa is 90 cents per day. Poverty set by the World Bank is at $2.19 per day. You know, they're way below the poverty line. So of course they're clearing land because they want to try and plant more cocoa so they can just get a little bit more money. So that's what I mean by we all need to support. So we have to pay a fair price for cocoa and for all these other ingredients to make sure that farmers can look after their land and do things the right way, so that we can have that improved nutrition. We need to adjust our expectations so that we don't just keep pushing these unsustainable systems.
Yeah, so it really is a critical time for this kind of holistic food systems transformation. I think your point on turning commitments into real action on the ground is really important to highlight too. As you exampled with regenerative agriculture, this supply chain collaboration and responsibility really is the key to building resilient and secure food systems. So 2023 was a big year for Huel, becoming B Corp certified and receiving financial backing from Morgan Stanley. What are your hopes for the rest of 2024, and what's going to be new this year?
We've spent the last few years really looking inwardly at ourselves. So as I said, you know, getting to this point that we've got all the data to understand the impacts of our products, you know, and to build meals that fit within certain environmental boundaries and so on. We've looked at our governance systems. We've looked at how we're making decisions and how we bring sustainability into that decision-making process, how we look after people, you know, our own workers, workers in our supply chains and our value chains and so on. We've done a huge amount of work at building up those systems and our understanding so that we can design products and make business decisions that are going to be good for people, be good for the planet and so on, hence why we wanted to go for a B Corp certification. And what we really want to sort of move on to now is to shift into a slightly different gear, which is to share a lot of what we've done and what we've learned, and to see if we can encourage other people to adopt similar courses of action within their own companies. You can say that in the positive way about, you know, we want to encourage, or you could say it in a slightly more provocative saying, we want to agitate the industry a little bit. I sit somewhere between both. That is something that we want to move on to quite a bit more. Obviously, we'll continue to do all of the inwardly looking stuff. And we want to start engaging more with the rest of the industry in this sharing process, but also in a partnership process. You know, what can we start to do more on that element of how do we work together? We're looking at doing projects with farmers who are in our supply chains to try out different methods of reducing our impact. One of the projects is about planting clover next to oats, because clover takes nitrogen out of the air and puts it into the soil, and it might then allow oat farmers to reduce their nitrogen fertilizer consumption, things like that. Or working with our packaging suppliers and working with other like-minded companies in the industry as well, to see that if we group together, what more is it that we could achieve? There's going to be hopefully a lot more collaboration and partnership in moving forward. As part of that, we'll be attending different events across the year that we can participate in. One of them is an Innovation Forum event in Amsterdam, the Future of Food and Beverage. So we're looking forward to that. And the other element that's really important for us is to try and engage more with consumers. It sounds a little bit cliched, but about this power of food. What we eat on a daily basis is a fairly personal decision that's driven by lots of different factors. You know, it could be cultural, it could be religious, it could be traditional in your family, it could be emotional. I mean, there's all sorts of different things that are going to factor into your food choices. But what I want to do is to see what we can do in this space as a brand that can educate and motivate, inspire people to understand that however many times a day, let's say three times a day, you're choosing what it is that you eat and what the impact of that can be in terms of improving your health, reducing the environmental impact of your food, and the difference that that can make when you multiply it up on a, you know, be it a national or a global level. And how incredibly important that is. And it's delicate messaging. It can be quite tricky messaging, but it's something that we really want to try and crack in 2024.
So lots of exciting things to look forward to then. As Jessica mentioned, she will be joining us to speak at our Future of Food and Beverage conference taking place in Amsterdam on May 14th and 15th. Join us to continue this conversation and take part in other engaging debates on the likes of food security, the future of farming, supply chain innovation, and more. Tickets can be purchased on the Innovation Forum website, and if you register before April 12th, you can save €200 on your ticket. We also offer group booking discounts, so please get in touch if this is of interest. Thanks so much for joining me, Jessica, and I look forward to you joining us in May.
Many thanks.